B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Put it up.
Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome in after a fine Flyers shutout victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Jake Voracek's goal, number 8, I believe, on SportsCenter's top 10 today. Not too bad for good old Jake Voracek. But no saves from Brian Elliott, who is just absolutely stellar in net for the Flyers. Always good to shut out the Pittsburgh Penguins, especially when you see a guy. All right, Bob. Travis Konecny.
And?
Looked adorable.
All right. Somebody tweeted me. They're going to call me Konecny now.
Konecny, huh?
Konecny, yeah. Bob Konecny.
All right. Very nice.
What a
very,
pass.
Very nice.
What a pass he is.
Thing of beauty. Thing of beauty. Jake Voracek basically creates his own scoring chance. But sure, no, Travis Konecny looked great.
Yeah. Voracek did the work, but you know. You need to finish it.
Oh, yeah, you need to thread the needle.
That's right.
I think he just physically is presenting beautifully right now.
I miss Gabe.
I kind of miss him already. Also,
I'm going to miss Gabe this year.
Something tells me he's really not going to be that far away, considering he's a click of a button away from, like, oh, Gabe's here, everyone.
There will be some Gabe drops that stay permanently.
The spirit of Gabe. Yes, exactly. But the Flyers, great win last night. Sidney Crosby crying about it afterwards. Always a tough building to play in. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you're damn right. It's always tough to play in because we hate your guts right back. So we'll talk a little bit about that later today. But I want to talk about. So the idea that nobody wants to play with us. I get the feeling that Doug Sandbox, no one wants to come in with their shovel and bucket. That's kind of how this feels right now. So late yesterday, Jay Gruden ends up not going to the Raiders as an offensive coordinator with his brother John, as it was speculated by our friend Adam Schefter, who will join us today at 8 o'clock. It also comes out that Mike Kafka, former quarterback, backup quarterback for the Eagles, will also not be joining the Eagles coaches. No thanks. I don't need the interview. Thanks, but no thanks. Graham Harrell, who is the offensive coordinator at USC, decides to stay at USC and say, nah, I'm good on an interview with you guys. No thank you. Still other names are out there. Jim Caldwell's another one. But as of right now, it seems that nobody wants to step in the playground of Doug Peterson. Why is this such... Well, I thought this job would be a lot more attractive because of who the quarterback is. Does it matter that much that you're not going to be calling the plays, especially when it's a huge step forward for guys like Mike Kafka, guys like Graham Howell who are at the college level? You have an opportunity to go into the NFL, and you're saying thanks, but no thanks. Other hirings are happening around the league. Pat Shermer's got a gig already. Like, these other guys are already taking these positions around the league as offensive coordinator. John DeFilippo gets fired in Jacksonville. Then you blink, and now he's with the Bears in the same role. Why is this role so unattractive around the NFL right now? Why is it taking so long to even get an interview with anybody outside? What is the outside opinion of Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, and this Eagles offense? I would think it would be kind of good, considering Carson Wentz, pretty damn good quarterback. We all know why the job is attractive. Why is it unattractive? And let's not forget, by the way, that you can interview coaches that are going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
The Jim Schwartz interviewed, Frank Reich interviewed. Well, excuse me, Frank Reich interviewed, Jim Schwartz did not. Frank Reich interviewed with the Eagles on the way to the Super Bowl. What's going on right now? Why is this job so unattractive all of a sudden, Trey?
Well, like I've said before, it's not for everybody.
Oh, so you think it's us. Yeah, we're the problem. No, Philadelphia.
Not necessarily. I'm just saying. Just the pressure, everything that comes around it, it's not for everybody. I mean, you know, some people just want to go somewhere where everything is nice and cool and relaxing. You know, you don't want the pressure of being in the city like this. And I mean, who cares if you go... calling the plays didn't stop Doug Peterson from getting a head job.
Yeah.
Under Andy Reid, so I don't see how that would be...
Or Frank Reich.
Yeah, I don't see how that would be such a deterrent.
I agree.
So, you know...
What's the problem? Especially, I brought up Graham Harrell, who's the offensive coordinator at USC. why wouldn't he want to take that step forward at the NFL level?
Is he
just
everybody?
Is he just loving the USC life?
Oh yeah, probably loving the college life, man. I mean, you know, the weather's always good out there. You know, you never know how much he's getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the salary is right there the same, and you're like, all right, the weather's good.
Yeah,
you know, now you're getting taxed a lot more in California, but yeah, you know.
That puts up a red flag for me when you have college coaches declining interviews. Like, I can understand, you know, maybe a Kafka. Okay, I'm on a team where it's really going to go places, and you know, I'm set here, and I think I can springboard to a head coaching job from where I am now. You know, a Caldwell, he can maybe pick and choose. So could a Gruden. So those guys, okay, you can kind of understand it. But when you go after a college guy, which it appears the Eagles did, and he says, nah, I'm good. Man, cooking must be good in Southern California that you're not even going to interview with a professional football team.
Yeah, I think it says a lot also that a guy that is very familiar with your offense, a guy that was here during your greatest run, which was obviously the Super Bowl, John DeFilippo, either they didn't look at him or he didn't even look twice at you.
Yeah.
After getting fired. So that's a position that you thought he could slide into and have some success and kind of restabilize his career after two different teams over the last 2 years. And yeah, I'm going to go into the Bears, not use guys. See you later. And then the same thing could be said for a guy like Jay Gruden, who is coming off of a head coaching run of, what, 6 or 7 years in Washington? And then you look at the idea of him going to Jacksonville, where you have to deal with the Nick Foles money and then the up-and-coming Gardner Minshew. I don't know why that's so attractive. That's a quarterback problem more so than it's anything else. And Doug Marrone is now is obviously your head coach. So you're going to be going into a position where you're going to be calling the plays. Wouldn't you rather have a stable quarterback position of Carson Wentz? But apparently you more so want the say of calling the plays. Like, this is, I think it's become a bigger issue than we're willing to acknowledge.
I think it's weird, really weird.
So if I'm
Jim Caldwell, I look at Carson. Offensive minds should be chomping at the bit to come work with this kid.
Evidently not.
It's a jumping stone or a
stepping stone,
a jumping off point to be a next head coach.
I don't get it.
What am I missing?
Okay. So now I start to like look around and go, all right. Well, let's look in the mirror for a second, Philadelphia. Uh-huh. Let's look in the mirror for a second and say, what's wrong with us? All right? Now, let's do some self-evaluation here. All right?
Okay.
Let's do some self-evaluation. And when I say Philadelphia, I mean the Eagles. So, all right, well, as a city, yeah, we are tough. Well, we can, like, look what we did to Mike Groh. Sorry, buddy.
Fultz?
What? Oh, Markel Fultz?
Yeah.
I would love to hear a potential offensive coordinator be like, well, did you see what they did to Markel Fultz in that city? Look at this guy. He goes down to Orlando. He's getting triple doubles against LeBron all of a sudden. But in all seriousness, what's wrong with us? Doug Peterson has control of the place.
How much time you got, buddy?
Yeah, that's... Dude, grab a chair, lay back in the sofa. But like, let's think about this for a second. What's wrong with us as a football city? We have a head coach that calls the plays. Okay, I can see why somebody like a Jim Caldwell or a Jay Gruden wouldn't want to surrender that aspect of the game, right? You can see that guy wants control. I get it. But that shouldn't deter you from working with Carson Wentz. All right, let's see what else here. Are the Eagles going to be making any upgrades to the wide receiver position in the not-too-distant future?
Yeah.
Yes.
They are?
They have to.
I agree with you that they have to, but you also have a lot of money tied up in two of your wide receivers right now. Great.
Yeah.
Have the Eagles shown you the ability to draft that position?
Not well.
Now, if I'm an offensive coordinator and if I'm a candidate to come in here, all right? And by the way, I officially turned down an interview for the Eagles offensive coordinator. They didn't ask, but I just wanted to save them time.
Nip it in the bud.
I announced on Twitter, I said, hey, just so you know, thanks, but no thanks.
All right.
So if I'm going into that room, though, Trey, and I'm saying to them, or better, you're going into that room, and they're like, all right, yeah, offensive coordinator position, what do you think? You have all these possibilities. You have a quarterback that can get to an elite level, right? Mm-hmm. You have an offensive line where you're most likely going to be plugging in a rookie left tackle. You have a center that is has been pretty solid. Might be a Hall of Famer in Jason Kelsey.
It's going to be second year.
Second year what?
Yeah.
Dillard.
But first year as a starter. Right, excuse me. Yeah. You have a pretty damn good right side of your offensive line. So the offensive line looks pretty good. So let's just start from scratch, which is the trench, as we always talk about. And now you have another position, at the tight end, that looks pretty damn solid as well. Mm-hmm. You have a pretty damn good running back in Miles Sanders. That wide receiver position, though.
Yeah, yeah. You're looking at the wide receivers like...
Again, this is looking in the mirror. This is looking for the problem that's wrong with us. It's looking for the pimple on the supermodel. You know what I'm saying? Like, why wouldn't this be an attractive position to anybody else? When you have Mike Kafka saying, nah, I'm not even going to interview. And you also have a guy in college, Graham Harrell, who is just like, yeah, I'm not going to interview either. Thanks anyway.
Mm.
And then you have other guys with the more experienced caliber, like a Jim Caldwell, who I don't even know if he's got a telephone. I don't even know if he's got a text message yet to come in for a meeting.
Yeah.
Why is this such a difficult thing to find an offensive coordinator that wants to work with this offense?
Well, if they're doing their due diligence, then Jim Caldwell better have been contacted.
Well, but they're doing their due diligence, and people are saying, no thanks.
Yeah.
That's a terrible look.
Well,
who have they interviewed? Well, yeah.
No one.
Exactly.
Kafka and, well, Harrell came in Friday, so... One?
Oh, he did come in. Okay,
yeah,
but he decided to stay at USC.
Yeah, so one.
Okay.
So it's been, what, 10 days and they've had one guy in the building?
All right, so what if five more names come up as a offensive coordinator, as people that they've interviewed?
I can't wait to hear from Schefter at 8 because you would have to think at this point some names have at least come across his desk, right?
Mm, yeah, well, yeah, we know
right?
Dan Orlovsky's name has come across
right?
his desk.
Right?
We know that maybe not tied to the Eagles specifically, but people have inquired, supposedly, about that Dan Orlovsky fella, friend of the show,
yes.
who might be joining us later in the week.
Yes.
So it's an interesting thing. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, that would take some cojones, I think.
So,
huge ones.
Yeah. Say, hey, you guy on the TV, and no offense to Dan, but hey, you on the ESPN set, you're ROC now.
Yeah, come on in.
Never coached before? Job's yours.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
How do you explain that if you're Howie?
Do you know how to use Exos?
he'll be doing everything with his pen and his Surface. It's a tablet, basically, to be drawing on the place. Hey, it'll be easier for him to meet guys in South Philly to throw hands, as he said on social media, so that he'll be right there. It's more convenient. But what is so unattractive about this position? What's so bad about being the Eagles' offensive coordinator? So Harrell comes in, and he talks to these guys, and he decides, yeah, I'm good. What was said in that interview? What is being said when they try to make these phone? Because, look, I agree that they're trying to do their due diligence, right? But let's say five more names come across the desk, and they go, no, we knew it was Deuce the whole time. We knew it was Press Taylor the whole time. Really?
Wait,
really?
Come on, man. Stop.
I'm not the only one.
It with that.
Trey, the name's out there. I can't just ignore the name.
What, Press Taylor?
Press Taylor.
I think you're the only one putting it out there.
No, it's out there on Ruben Frank wrote it up yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. I think Adam Schefter said he hadn't heard the name come up, but no, it's come up in other places. Because I've gone, there's no way they go Press Taylor. And then
I go,
oh, wow, I'm not the only one. Well, this is great. Dan Orlovsky, obviously, as we've said, his name's out there as well. So what is wrong with us? What is wrong with our Philadelphia Eagles franchise that people don't want this job when Carson Wentz is your quarterback? And again, you have a pretty solid offensive line, and you have a pretty good running back as well. Why would this all of a sudden be unattractive to people? It's got to be because of Doug. It's got to be because of Howie that people are just like, I want to stay away from that because I won't have as much say and be able to put my fingerprints on that offense.
Yeah, I mean, is there bad word going around about like, oh, difficult to work for? You know, is it a case where, you know, Doug, it's my way or the highway type of thing? You know, you're 2 years removed from a Super Bowl. Who the hell wouldn't want to come here? I don't get it. You know, is Howie, is this kind of making you think like, the way Howie handled some of the trades during the season where there was crickets, we're seeing that all over again? How do you explain it if you do hand it to Deuce Staley? How do you explain that? Oh, yeah, he was our guy all along.
It's a bad look. Here's the thing. If they were going to go
know
out.
How to get out of this.
But here's the thing. If they were going to go out there and hire Deuce, I would still expect them to have other interviews. They've had one. And they've called on another who said thanks but no thanks. The guy they interviewed, now maybe he just got wind that maybe he thought he interviewed bad. It was just like, no, I'm not, I just want to make it formal. I'm not going there.
Man, I butchered that. I can't believe I farted when they asked me the question about the play designs.
They said, what do you think of our quarterback? And I was like, well, Jared Goff's a great quarterback. And I feel like, oh, wait, hold on. Oh, damn, sorry. So it's just, it's odd to me.
Tuxedos aren't so funny now.
Yeah.
That might be the best theory going.
He pulled a John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell Adam Schefter that's what happened and then see if he tweets it and we'll see what per reports, per source. Anyway, rabbit hole. So why is this job all of a sudden so unattractive? I feel like it would be something that a lot of people around the league that are looking to take that step forward, they'd want to take it. Like, you know, it almost reminds me of, I want to say this was after, it was right after Chip Kelly left or got fired, and Howie was looking for a GM. And nobody wanted the GM position because they knew they weren't going to have any say. It took a while for Joe Douglas to get hired, and obviously that wasn't even a GM role. That was a basically an assistant to the director of player personnel. It's a wild thing to think about, but when you have a quarterback, it should all, like, that should be the conversation had across the table. Hey, Trey, you want to be my offensive coordinator? Who's your quarterback? Carson Wentz.
Yep.
Done, right?
Yeah, I'm
we won, way. We won a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
I know how to use Exos and fight VCO. I'm ready to go.
You were, so we'll talk about that as the show goes on today. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We have a giveaway that we have to do today because it's for a game. Tonight is the Temple game, if I'm not mistaken. And we got Temple Cincinnati tickets. And this is going to be
tonight, 7 o'clock, Lee Corps Center.
This is going to be a very tough question. I'm going to ask this question to our listening audience, and all you have to do is call up and guess, all right? It's going to be very simple. You have to guess the Sixer I'm thinking of.
Current Sixer? Past Sixer?
You know, any Sixer ever. Just you have to think. The Sixer I'm thinking of, if you call up and you name that Sixer, guess what? You're going to go to the Temple game tonight.
I think I know it, and I'm not going to say it because I'm 99% sure I'm right.
Okay, I'm thinking of a Sixer. And if you name that Sixer, you're going to the game. It's as simple as that. It's a Temple game tonight against Cincinnati. Tip off 7 o'clock at the Lee Corps Center. It is meme night at the Lee Corps Center as well. Trey, your dream came true recently when you had a park named after you. But yes. In that park, that's where you celebrated getting drafted into the NFL.
Yes.
All right. So you didn't go to New York?
No.
Imagine for a second. Just imagine for a second.
Mm.
Your name gets called.
Yeah.
You then hop on a boat. Now, I'll tell you this much. It's alligator free water.
Yeah, alligator free
water. You hop on a
boat.
Which
is very important.
I know. That's why I know you, and I'm just saying is all that. Uh-huh. It's alligator free water. Uh-huh. You jump in a boat. No alligators. You take that boat to a stage which is floating over a lake at the Bellagio in Las Vegas.
Which is beautiful.
Where you then walk across the stage, get a hat, and you shake the commissioner's hand.
Oh, no, you get full hug, man.
You're probably yeah, you get the big hug. Yeah, so not even a bro hug. You get full-on hug.
Yeah, you get double
hug. You get the dap with the commissioner.
You get a, you get a caress, kind of, pat your back a couple times.
A lower back hug.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then now you're in the NFL.
Really let you know he cares.
Then you get back on a boat.
No, I think you hang out there for a while. I don't know how it works.
Yeah. Then they take you back?
Yeah, wait. Do they have a boat to take you back? Did they plan that far ahead?
I think from
the
pictures,
other side of the stage.
Yeah, you walk off the back of the stage to the casino.
So wait a minute. So they take you from a land. They put you on a boat.
Mm.
Take you to another.
Then they just drop you off in Vegas somewhere.
Doesn't sound funny to anybody?
Yeah.
Still sound weird to anybody?
I'm freaked out by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of
I don't know. Yeah, I think I would definitely sit this one out. I'm good. I don't want to get on the boat. I'm good.
So
I'm good.
Your reaction to the NFL draft being held on the fake lake in front of the Bellagio, where the fountain show happens, if you would have gone, I want to know your reaction to that, and then also, would you have gone if it was done in the way it's being done this year?
So you're going to take me?
Yeah.
Put me in the boat?
Mm.
Take me across water.
That's correct.
You're going to put me up on the stage. Show that I've been selected by someone else.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm passing out.
Stayed in Florida?
Yeah, I'm staying in Florida.
You stayed at the park?
Yeah.
You stayed at the
Trey Thomas Park.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Trey Thomas Park on that one, yeah. Just like everything about that just doesn't sound right.
Right. I'm just making
Bobby, you get me.
I got you.
Here is the only take that I believe should exist following the NFL announcing that they are having their draft on the fake lake at the Bellagio over the fountains. The only thing that you should take away from all this is look what the NFL has to try and do to top Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you've gone.
Look what you have to try in order to get over Philadelphia's draft year. And not even the fake lake at the Bellagio and the fountains and the boat and any of that in Vegas, not even that, my friends, is going to top what happened in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. By the way, Katie Nolan, friend of the show, Katie Nolan had my favorite tweet about this. Just have it at rehab, you cowards. I think that's the best take to have. 610-632-0975. We got some Hall of Fame announcements happening in baseball. Joe Girardi spoke the other night, so we'll hear from him a little bit later. And this idea of pampering athletes, because I love, we've called him Alain Vigneault. I believe Alain has become more popular now. Alain Vigneault. He's one hell of a coach, man. And when we talked to him some months ago, it was love at first conversation. And yesterday, it came out from Kevin Hayes, who had played for Alain Vigneault before, and just said that this guy doesn't pamper his athletes. And it just got me thinking about that kind of rah-rah guy that we always fall in love with in this town, right? And he seems to be the kind of guy that is not a in-your-face type of guy, just a guy that's brutally honest. Like, we talk about this a lot. Like, when we talk about Ben Simmons, we don't talk about a guy that's yelling and screaming and all that. We just talk about a guy that's like, hey, by the way, I'm going to punch you in your face later.
Yeah.
What?
More effective.
Yeah, and Vigneault seems to be that type of coach, where he's just brutally honest. Yes, those pants make you look fat. Like, right? Yeah. Like, he is that type of coach.
Love you as a person, hate you as a hockey player right now.
Like, how... When he said that,
that was terrific.
Awesome. Yeah. It was JVR, I believe, was one of the guys he was talking
and
about.
Voracek.
And Voracek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, these guys are great people, but I need more from the hockey player.
Yeah.
My brain melted.
And all the years I've been around covering sports and around sports, I've never heard someone put it like that. It was perfect.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wild. And to win that game the way they won it last night, and you could tell in the first period it was going to be one of those hockey games. It was like, all right, who's going to be the first to crack? What goaltender? Mm-hmm. And Brian Elliott stood on his head. He was incredible last night. And they even got the empty net goal just to make it 3-0 at the end. It was perfect. And now they go into this long all-star break. So Travis Konecny be representing the Flyers, and we'll see what happens there. And as I say that, Bob smiles from ear to ear. But it's a wild thing. One of the things I want to get into today is, because we've been talking about Andy Reid all week, and we'll be talking about him up into the Super Bowl, and I'm sure again a couple of times after that as well. So when you think about that type of coach that we always looked at as a guy that always protected his players, can you say the same thing about Andy Reid, Trey? Would he ever get in people's faces? Would he ever scream and yell? Because we never saw any of that. Or is he more of the Alain Vigneault, where he would just kind of say things matter-of-factly and hope to get that response?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I kind of want to get into today. Because we all want the fiery guy, the guy that we can all identify with. We want that type of guy. But sometimes that's not the guy that really hits home with his players. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Also, I can't believe this. This is awesome. We were waiting to lock this in, and we locked it in. Cornhole Championship at Tall Man Joe's.
Yeah.
We now have an incredible prize for two people that are just going to show up at the event. This isn't even for actually winning the Cornhole Champ. This is just anyone that walks up, anyone that comes to our Cornhole Championship, January 31st, a week from Friday at Tall Man Joe's in South Philadelphia, will have an opportunity to win a great trip to Clearwater, Florida. From our friends at Philly Sports Trips, your first choice for an awesome and affordable getaway trip for all Philly sports, phillysportstrips.com for a full listing. Go there for your full listing of this year's trips. The package includes direct flights, four-night stay at the Wyndham Grand Clearwater Beach Hotel, right on the beach near all the action, a group welcome happy hour on Thursday night, trolley transfers to the games, group tickets to two spring training games. You will also be attending a 105 game against the Tigers on Friday, March 13th at 105, and also a 105 game against the Pirates on Sunday, March 15th. For the game on Friday, our group will be part of a great baseball party. party suite with all the food and drinks included. And also Sunday's tickets are group tickets in the stands as well. Like, that is, you could win a trip to spring training all for just showing up at Cornhole.
So you come to Cornhole. You're not playing, but you just come and hang out, which many, many people are going to do. Drink some beers early in the morning, get ready for a big weekend. And you just come and you can win a trip to go to spring training
just
for
like
four
that.
Nights.
Just like that.
That's ridiculous.
The email's gone out to all our teams that are participating. They got great prizes as well. We are asking that each person that is involved in the Cornhole Championship make a donation to our charity that's doing great things, Bounce Out the Stigma. We're asking for a little donation there. I'll be donating as well, so I'm not excluding myself.
Mm-hmm.
We're all donating. $1,000 for the winning team, $300 for second place. These are the prizes. $200 for third place, and it's all brought to you by the great people of Parks Casino. Steven Singer Jewelers helping us out. Landis Block is giving us a fire pit for this. Annual golf pass to Linfield National. Sixers suite tickets with the morning show. 24-hour rental of a 1965 Shelby Cobra, courtesy of Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. So much that we're giving away here as part of our Cornhole Championship. Field of 32, double elimination, Toll Man Joe's in South Philadelphia on Friday, January 31st. Kickoff Super Bowl parties with us at Toll Man Joe's. We're going to have a good time.
Oh,
we're
going
to have a good time.
Can't wait.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. I got Phil and Pensburg and open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Also, just guess that sixer, and you'll find yourself at the Temple game tonight, Wednesday night, at the Lee Corps Center. Coming up, take a little closer look at Doug Peterson and this offensive coordinator position. Time at the Fanatic is 6:22.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, our friend Jamie Lynch there, he's a television aficionado. I'm going to blow his mind.
Okay.
With what I'm about to tell him in the next segment. It's something that I know a lot of people are going to be upset about, but you know, that's just what happens.
I took your advice yesterday.
What'd you do?
Started a little hip-hop evolution on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
A little sick day hip-hop Wild. Evolution. It was a good time.
Why, like for our generation, it was like, what? MC Hammer wasn't the first hip-hop artist? What are you talking about? But no, did it go back even further than that? Well, obviously,
yeah, it was
further than that. Like into the 70s?
Great series.
It really is. So how many episodes deep?
I made it through three.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first three are just blow your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
The evolution of everything is pretty wild. Let me know when you get to the chocolate cake with the guy from Philly.
I did. Oh, Schoolie D. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That was episode
well,
three?
That was Gangster Rap. That was the numerical orders of the episode are kind of weird.
Yeah, they jump around a little bit.
Yeah, so that was one of the first three I watched.
Okay.
Season one.
You got my cake?
Yeah.
I got your cake.
It was hilarious.
That's great. 610-632-0975. Why does no one want to step in the sandbox with our Doug Peterson, with our Howie Roseman, and become our offensive coordinator? And don't give me an excuse that they got a Super Bowl to get ready for in case they want to interview somebody off the 49ers or the Chiefs coaching staff. They already called on Mike Kafka, and he's like, yeah, I'm good. Maybe Mike, another time.
Mike knows about being here.
As I said before, I feel like if you hire somebody on the Chiefs, the coaching staff, you're just hiring within the organization. Like that's yeah. It feels like, all right, it's not the Eagles, but it's kind of the Eagles. Like, that's just how
that's
it
your
feels.
Step family or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They're your cousins is what it is. Phil in Pensburg. What's going on, Phil?
Hi, guys.
Hey, man.
So I'm not going to even pretend like I know anything about the coaching, hiring, and the contracts, but my question is, well, just from listening to you guys, I found out about the whole you can't move laterally with the coaching positions. So if they are worried about, like, if somebody wants to be hired as a offensive coordinator in a better, more established organization, if there's like a offensive coordinator position that's going to be opening up in the next year or 2 years somewhere else, are these guys worried about coming to the Philadelphia Eagles and getting trapped there and not being able to get to the job at the other team that they wanted more?
I would seriously doubt that, Phil. I think anybody, especially that's a Mike Kafka or a Graham Harrell, someone that wants to take the next step in their career, would want to work with a quarterback that has at least been in the MVP race in his career and has also, by the way, they won the last four games of the season to make it into the playoffs, and now he's got playoff experience under his belt. Now you have a running back you know you can work with. You have a solid offensive line as well. Like, if you're an offensive coordinator or a potential offensive coordinator, I would think this would be a dream scenario. And oh yeah, by the way, 2 years ago they won a Super Bowl.
Right. I just didn't know if, because I just learned from you that you can't move laterally. So if there's,
I never said that. I don't know where you got that.
Well, not you personally, but I listen to 97.5 in the morning and the afternoon. But
okay,
something to do with they can't move laterally, as like a coach can block a guy from going to a team.
Yes.
It's not. I'm not sure how that works. That's,
if it's a lateral move, the team has the right to refuse.
Yeah.
John DeFilippo was refused the Jets opportunity a couple years back.
Yeah, before the year before they won the Super Bowl.
So it has to be a promotion of sorts.
Yeah, it has to be a promotion.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. There's like an offensive coordinator position, just say at the Patriot level, that they have their eyes on in 2 years. As they get to take the offensive coordinator position here, they won't be able to get there. I didn't know if that was something that was in people's concerns.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, John DeFilippo, offensive coordinator in Jacksonville, gets fired and then immediately goes to the Bears, like for the same position. I would think you would want to work with a guy. Like, see, that's the thing. To find reasons why you don't want to work with the Eagles, you have to reach, because you have to reach past the idea of, well, wait, they have Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
So either the opinion around the NFL is that Carson Wentz is not that good, which I know for a fact is not,
yeah,
or they don't want to work with Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman.
Yeah, I've said it so many times that, you know, coaches have to be egotistical. They have to believe they're going into a spot and they can change things and things will get, you know, done the right way under them. Is it a case where the ego coming into play is hampering the Eagles trying to get an offensive coordinator?
I guess.
Like a guy, you know, oh, why would I go there? I'm better than that. I could make that offense even better, but I'm not going to have the chance. I don't know. It's weird. Offensive coordinator, I think we all view it the right way. It's a stepping stone, as Jamie said, to a head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you take it?
Well, my only thing is, so who's the perfect example? Frank Reich.
Yeah, I mean, right? It only happened 2 years ago here.
Yeah, but also the perfect thing happened. Like, he got here, 2 years, right? The second year, he wins the Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator of this team, not calling plays, and then he transitions that into a head coaching job in Indianapolis. And which, by the way, the Colts actually did okay this year, despite Andrew Luck retiring.
Yeah.
So, at the last minute as well. So, I think people can look at this and say, yeah, not only is it a stepping stone, it's a rather stable stepping stone as well. Kevin in the Northeast, what's up, Kevin?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good, man.
Good. My thinking with the offensive coordinator is that they'd almost be afraid to come here, because if they fail and Carson doesn't perform and the offense doesn't flourish, they're going to be the scapegoat on this. So maybe it's kind of double-edged. Like, they want to come here, there's good potential, but there's more of a chance to fail as well.
I think that's anywhere.
Yeah, see, like, Kevin, I hear what you're saying, but then how do the Browns ever hire their next head coach? Like, how does that ever happen? Like, you always believe that if you're an offensive-minded guy or you're a potential head coach, that you're the guy that's going to make it work. Everyone else failed. I'm the guy that can make the difference. And especially if you want to take that next step forward, there's what better place to do that than where at least you know you have a stable quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that no one's taking it, that, like, Deuce is going to get it by default? He's going to get promoted for a running back coach by default because no one else wants it? Is that what you really want in the organization?
No, it's not. I want them to obviously get the guy that they want. And I have said that, look, if they go out and they interview these other candidates and they come away with it and saying, no, we want Deuce, like, imagine this for a second. Like, even if they just hired Deuce immediately, I know there'd be a good amount of the fan base, and I would be included in this, that just went, really? It was that easy a decision? Then why didn't you just hire him 2 years ago? Yeah. Like, I would want them to go out and at least make the phone calls. Talk to a Jim Caldwell. Talk to a Jay Gruden if he'll take the call. Just at least go out there and show that you are doing that due diligence.
Yeah, I hear you. I got you.
All right, Kevin. Go ahead.
Another thing, I called in the beginning of January on the air, and you guys, like, it was the 7th, and you
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the call, man. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right. I want to get that going as far as name that Sixer. All right.
Okay.
Because I got Temple tickets on the line.
Yeah,
it's,
there we go.
It's the Sixer in your head, huh?
It's the Sixer in my head. It's very simple.
All right.
Temple game tonight. Sixer in my... What are you...
I'm trying to extract
to read my mind.
It.
All right. It's a dark place, Bob. It's a dark place. Don't,
I see
don't,
nothing.
Don't try to... Neither did my teachers. Go figure. 610-632-0975. By the way, speaking of the Sixers, Devon and D are going to be at Kildare's tonight. So you can join Devon Givens. You could also join D Lineham before the Sixers take on Toronto tonight for the Sixers pregame show live from Kildare's from 6 to 7 presented by Corona Extra. Andrew Salchunas will be on site giving great prizes including Sixers tickets. Also, you can register for a chance to win a flyaway to see the Sixers take on Golden State in San Francisco. Enjoy $4 Corona Light Drafts as well as Kildare's. All the specials they have going on. Kildare's is located at 18 West Gay Street in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Also, 6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit unitedrentals.com. In the TV world, I'm about to blow Jamie Lynch's mind when it comes to this TV little factoid that I have going on coming up in a minute here. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 641.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So that television show, The Wire, is called like the greatest show ever.
Yeah,
like
I think it's my favorite.
Breaking Bad.
That and Breaking Bad are tied. Yeah.
I'm on episode 3 of The Wire.
Oh, you just started. Wire. First time ever?
Did that blow your mind?
Yeah.
You're only 3 ahead of me.
Well, Bob, we don't expect much
yeah,
from
Bob,
you.
We...
Hey, I got done the Aaron Hernandez thing yesterday.
Oh, you finished it?
Yeah.
Okay. I got it.
My most disturbing part of it is the day after he shot his friend, the one that survived and testified against him.
Oh, the one that he shot in the face.
Yeah, Bradley. And he calls him, and he's like, yo, who's this? He shot him the night before, and he's like, hello? Yeah, who's this?
Yeah.
You know who it is. You remember that part, Mark?
I'm one episode in.
I thought you said you finished it.
Spoiler!
No,
I said you finished
Damn!
It. Oh, I know, guys, I know how it ends.
I guess so. The story's kind of laid out there.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Humpty Dumpty. You already know kind of what's going to happen. Yeah.
Going to see Titanic.
Hey, easy.
Did you know how Sixth Sense ends before we get into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I gotta say, I'm enjoying The Wire. The first 3 episodes are very slow.
Mm-hmm.
But I gotta tell you,
I'm jealous that you're watching it with virgin eyes.
The wife is not into it.
No?
Like halfway through this 3rd episode, we were watching just before the Flyers game last night. She goes, are you into this? And I go, oh no. And I go, I'm not. And she's one of those, my wife's one of these people that's like, I don't want to be one of those couples that watches TV in the separate room. And I'm like, well, we're headed there. So, but yeah, so she's not into it, I don't think, at all.
Oh, wow.
And she like grew up in the Baltimore area.
She's got to ride it out a couple more episodes.
That's what I thought. Like, I watched Mad Men, and I was like, everyone told me I would love this show.
Well, it's a character development series.
And it's the first 4 episodes, like, this is the slowest thing. The only thing that kept me hooked into Mad Men for the first 4 episodes was at the end of the first episode, there's that twist where Don Draper, you learn, is like not this, you know, single man about town.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this just got interesting. Okay. And then I went through the first 4 episodes and I was like, I don't know if I can. And then the 5th one, I was like, okay, I'm in.
And Elizabeth Hendricks didn't hurt.
Not at all.
No.
That was 2 huge benefits to the show.
Yes.
Just in one right there.
I was watching Purple Rain.
Oh,
for the Flyers last night.
Oh, really?
Bouncing back and forth.
What channel was Purple Rain on?
I don't know. I think it was BET. Purple Rain. I even went to intermission. It was right on time when Prince sung Purple Rain.
Right.
It's awesome.
Well, I'll text Celeste today, and I'll tell her to stick through it a couple more episodes.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think it's the least I can do. It's my all-time favorite show. So.
Oh, is it even more than Breaking Bad?
You got to sell her on the seasons.
With The Wire?
Yeah. What How each season changes themes and perspective of the same problem.
Oh, okay.
So one season is the docs, one season is the schools.
Okay.
One season is the journalism, print, newspaper aspect.
All right.
Season one is the drug dealing aspect. So, and the way it all comes together and it's told from different angles, it's brilliant.
All right. I'm in.
I'll sell her. All right. I'll sell her.
Thank you. Yeah, I caught a last night. I was like, what was that? She goes, are you into this? And I was like, yes. Quiet. I demand quiet in my house. Trying to watch The Wire.
Trying to
catch up on a show that came out 18 years ago.
We're attempting to start the new HBO show, the Jason Bateman one, The Outsider.
Okay.
We haven't gotten there yet because this stupid baby keeps getting in the way.
Oh, babies.
Outsider, huh?
Am I right?
Yeah, it just started 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's getting really good reviews. It's a Stephen King novel turned HBO series.
I just realized that Prince dressed like a pirate all the time.
A purple pirate.
Purple pirate.
Well, you know, Jack Sparrow was modeled after Keith Richards is the lore. So the pirate rock star crossover, really not that far away.
No, not at all.
Interesting. Yeah.
Both are considered renegades of their profession.
Yeah. Right,
the professional renegades, basically. Yeah. Could you imagine if you were just like a Dutch shipman crossing the Atlantic or whatever it might have been.
And Prince held you up.
And like, it's like, oh, this purple ship's creeping up on us. Yeah. And then like Prince comes on and he's like, shibboogie. Give me your shibboogie.
Give me your money, bitches. Give me your gold doubloons, bitches.
With some high heel boots on. Yeah. You know?
I'm not even kidding. I'd run scared. I'd jump in.
Your boots are looking mighty sporty.
Look at my sails. They're made of nice velour.
That's the scariest
These
guy.
These are hemp sales.
Yeah, what is that? Oh, there's our friend Mike in KOP. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, so honestly, I mean, what's the real allure of this offensive coordinator position? You're not going to be calling any plays.
Correct.
So you can't put that on your resume. So people automatically know that you weren't doing that. Two, the organizational structure there. Like, I mean, Howie Roseman, I mean, Jeffrey Lurie kind of clipped the head coach's power after that one meeting when he basically acts as two position coaches. Like, you don't even know if your coach has any real legitimate authority there. And Doug himself was brought in there because they knew he wasn't going to challenge any of Howie's authority. So, like, who are you really working for, and what's your safety there? I mean,
the fact let me answer the question. So the allure is working with Carson Wentz, and the fact that you have a quarterback and you have a running back and you have a solid offensive line that can make you look pretty good, regardless of you calling plays or not. It's a stepping stone into the NFL. It's a stepping stone to a coordinator position, which bottom line looks good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is working with Carson Wentz really all that? Like, you have, I mean, he's still a quarterback that you have questions about. And, like, I don't know. I mean, the offensive coordinator positions are coveted now because they can show how much of a genius you are. And, like, that's where they're going. And I think if you're only getting half the position, what's the point?
Well, Mike, I think the answer is in what you just said. Carson Wentz, there are still questions on. But do you think there is talent there?
Well, I think there's talent there.
Yeah, so if I'm an offensive coordinator, if that job is there, I say, having the ego that coaches do, I can go there and make him great. I can make him 2017 every year, and that ultimately will propel me to be a head coach in this league, a job that only 32 people have in this world.
And I also think that you still have a lot of input in the game plan. Even though you're not calling the plays, you will still help with some of the play concepts and can still help out with the play design and all of that other stuff, getting them together.
I mean, we had Andy Reid lie to us and tell us that Doug was calling plays in the second half of the games because it's that important calling plays. Like, Andy Reid lied to our team just to get him a job here. So, like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a position, a job opportunity that's as coveted as we may think it is.
No, that's what we're searching for today, Mike, and thanks for the call. It's a wild thing to think about because you think, Carson Wentz, you're fine. Super Bowl 2 years ago, you're fine. Miles Sanders, offensive line, even Boston Scott, you're fine. But maybe all that is just stuff that we're looking at, and maybe we're glorifying it because we watch it every day, but you would think we would know it because we watch it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a pretty attractive position. Maybe calling play. Yeah. Like, here's the other part of it. The Andy Reid story that came out about Doug Peterson calling plays in the second half, and they just happened to start that 11-game winning streak back in 2013, I think it was, like, or 2015. Like, that looks good. But no one believed it. I didn't believe it. But now you see the footage come out of Eric Bieniemy calling the plays. Maybe Doug did let Doug, or maybe Andy did let Doug call a few.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.